Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like Lyle Collins, Suafila, Williams. Let them go to work. Let them start picking Texans off right here. And look at the ability just to stay, bounce off tackles right here. He doesn't go down on contact. He sees the openings. He's looking to score. We know Zeke is the man, but I wonder what the Cowboys think they have in Pollard. How far do they think they could go if he's the man? They all seem to like him a lot in Dallas. I know that.
How about that? I have to say, now people can't, again, couldn't look at the video. I knew he was fast. And I knew he was explosive. I knew he was big. I knew the way that he waited for that hole to open up, it was damn impressive. Didn't you think? I mean, it was damn impressive.
Well, I was also a little overwhelmed just by how much Brian Baldinger clearly loves football, because everything that he was describing, everything he was seeing, I was like, oh yeah, I'm ready to go for football. But yes, you are correct in that, like, the way he was describing being able to run a screen with Lael Collins running in front of you and all these great players, it's like you can feel the energy, you can feel the enthusiasm that Brian Baldinger has for football. And if you're Tony Pollard, I think you're quite happy with the situation you found yourself in.
No, it's unbelievable. But I mean, the line is obviously tremendous,
but the
patience that he is showing, I think, also absolutely tremendous. All right, we got to take a break. Back in a moment with Chris Harrington when we return. Jeff Gawkinshaw, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Down home, the best things in life are almost free. The almost free deal at Church's. One leg, one thigh, plus a honey butter biscuit. Just $1.99 for a limited time. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Hi there, I'm Tanya Harding, world-class figure skater and Direct Auto Insurance spokesperson. Life doesn't always go as planned. We all know what it feels like to be on thin ice. Direct will look past your past and help you get going, and could save you up to 25%. Talk about a good deal. That's like the triple axle of deals.
Get Direct and get going. Save up to 25%. Direct Auto Insurance, Nashville, Tennessee. Rates apply. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
Amy, what brings you into the Xfinity store?
I heard a drum roll. What's the big announcement?
It's the Xfinity Best Deal of the Year on internet and TV.
That deserves better. Give me the sticks.
But we're talking huge savings.
I heard that.
Plus even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile.
That calls for a little...
Amy?
Sometimes you gotta let the sticks take the wheel, you know?
Hurry in today. The Xfinity Best Deal of the Year ends September 5th. That's simple, easy, awesome. Get huge savings on internet and TV with the top four networks included for only $70 a month for 2 years with a two-year agreement. With 2 years of DVR service and 1 year of Showtime included. And ask about even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile. You could get $250 back. Don't miss it. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay. Restrictions apply. New extra TV and Blast internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After 2 year agreement term and 1 year Showtime promo, regular rates apply.
Enter 92.9's ATC Fitness College Football Pickoff. Weekly winners get a 4-month free premium membership to ATC Fitness, and one grand prize winner gets a $500 gift card to Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool, $500 in gift cards to Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, and a Masterbuilt digital smoker from 92.9ESPN.com.
Nothing but a hound dog.
From the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's get a Chris Harrington.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is, of course, Elvis Presley's version of the Lee Borden Stiller classic Hound Dog, originally recorded by Big Mama Thornton. I learned from you on Twitter this morning that it is National Dog Day, so that is what that is in reference to.
Do you have dogs?
I do. We have two. We have a some kind of hound mix, some kind of coonhound mix, I think, named Louise. And then it's really our daughter's dog. Like, she sleeps in bed with our daughter, basically. But our daughter's dog is a little terrier mix named Juniper.
And where did you get each of them?
They're both rescue dogs. I don't remember the name of the group, but it's the group that either still does or used to set up by the downtown farmer's market. We got Louise at the farmer's market. Like, we were there that day. We walked up to look at the dogs, and she jumped up and tried to attack, like, in a good way, tried to lick my son to death.
Uh-huh.
And we took her home that day. Uh-huh. And then when we decided to get a second dog, we called the same group, and we got Juniper from the same group.
And how would you – did you grow up with dogs?
No. My dad is not a fan of animals.
Right.
And so not really. My parents divorced when we were pretty young. I was pretty young, but we never really had dogs at my mother's either. I grew up around dogs at my grandparents and stuff, but I never had a dog growing up.
And how would you analyze the pluses and minuses of having a dog?
We're very pro-dog. We're a very pro-dog family. I mean, the minus is logistics and expense, like, especially if you travel. Like, you have two dogs and you travel and you have to kennel them. I can tell you from experience.
Right.
That gets pricey. And then, like, when it rains, like, you got to deal with dogs not wanting to use the bathroom outside, which creates problems.
Do you go out with an umbrella? Have you ever done that? Do you go out with an umbrella and the dog? Or what's your strategy when it rains?
No, we're trying to just force them into the backyard when it's rainy, but then they're reluctant. And it's an issue. But to me, the pluses, just the entertainment value, the companionship value, all of that, you know, outweighs the whatever negatives there are.
And the expense is really quite extraordinary because, you're exactly right. Boarding or dog sitting is expensive, but also, like, vet bills are incredibly expensive. And they aren't really relative to human doctor bills, but we don't have, you know, your insurance, hopefully, for most of us, pays some of it, at least some of it. So the expense of dogs is ridiculous. Okay, but no question. The positives outweigh the negatives. Before I do anything else, I have to tell people about our birthday is coming up September 17th at the Daily Memphian. We have been here for almost a year. And so during the month of September, celebrating our first year by giving away four, among other things, giving away four pairs of tickets to the Memphis football game against Ole Miss. That is this Saturday. To win the tickets, you have to go to dailymemphian.com/tiger tickets. That's dailymemphian.com/tiger tickets. And enter. There is no purchase necessary. Noon on Thursday is the cutoff, but we are giving away four pairs of Tiger tickets to the Memphis Ole Miss game to celebrate the pending birthday of the Daily Memphian. All right, I have discharged my duty in that regard.
Do you have to be a subscriber to win?
You do not have to be a subscriber to win. No, thank you for pointing that out. You don't have to be a subscriber. Anyone can go. dailymemphian.com/tiger tickets, and you don't have to be a subscriber, and you do not have to pay anything, and you do not have to do anything other than enter. And one entry per person, we're giving away four pairs of tickets to the Memphis Ole Miss game. On this Andrew Luck stuff, I know you're not a big football guy. I'm curious, do you think that we've seen the growth of basketball as an international sport, and we have but if you look at the TV ratings, still dwarfed by both pro and college football. We live in a world where 50 years ago, boxing and baseball, or 70 years ago, boxing and baseball and horse racing were the main sports in this country. Do you think that, who the heck knows? Do you think basketball is in an upward trajectory and football is a downward trajectory, or no?
I mean, I have no crystal ball, but I do think basketball is in an upward trajectory. As far as, and partly that is because of the globalization of the game. In terms of football, I mean, when you talk about the TV ratings, you're talking about domestic TV ratings, right?
Right.
And so you're not factoring in, like, the global impact. As far as football, like, I would think over time it would be on a downward trajectory just because of what we're learning about, you know, head injuries and all of that. But I don't, you know, obviously, as you point out, like, TV ratings are still as strong as ever, I guess, or relatively speaking. So I don't know. I mean, I personally know lots of people who sort of are less interested in football than they used to be. But, like, you know, that's anecdotal, and obviously it doesn't bear itself out in you know, in the numbers.
Yeah. No, and clearly people are more interested in Premier League and in soccer and whatnot, and so it'll be interesting. I have no idea if over 50 – heck, I have no idea if the esports – I mean, have you ever watched one of these – do you know, understand what the heck the Grizzlies esport thing is? What the hell is going on over there?
I had this conversation with our colleague Kevin Leif over lunch last week.
Uh-huh.
And he said initially he thought probably more people watch Grizz gaming esports games than actual Grizzlies games, which I scoffed at. And then he sort of looked up some stats on viewership, and that is not true.
Thank God.
But it's not even close to true, really, from what we can tell. But he knows a little bit more about this than I do. He does think, broadly speaking, like, viewership for esports stuff is extremely high and higher than people think who don't pay any attention to it. It's not something you watch on TV. You watch on, like, Twitch, right, whatever that is, or, like, these other platforms. But that's an entire world that I don't understand and know nothing about.
Do you understand what are they doing over there with the Grizzlies? Like, what?
They have a team. Like you know, they're playing, like, video game basketball, right?
Right.
And they have, like, literally a team. So, like, there are five players on the screen, and there are individual human beings controlling each of the five players. And they play against other teams where five human beings are controlling the five players on the other team, and they fly to, you know, neutral locations. I think New York or Las Vegas, and they sit in a room and they play.
Oh, that's they don't
know,
play them in
playing
Memphis.
Basketball against each other in a video game.
But I know that, like, my son has gone to watch some games be played in an auditorium in Atlanta before, not basketball, some other stuff that I don't understand. And but this isn't a thing where we can go watch these dudes play it, is it?
I think we can watch it on whatever Twitch streaming platform or whatever. Yeah.
I gather we weren't very good.
I think they were better. I think they were better this season, but they just missed the playoffs. It felt like one or two games short of the playoffs. I think they were bad last season. I may be wrong. Playing Whitaker's listening. He can yell at me later, but I believe that's the case. I believe they were much improved.
He's the general manager, right? He's not the
yes.
He's not an athlete.
In addition to his other, like, Grizz Grind City media duties, his primary job over there is that he's the general manager of the Grizz gaming team.
All right. Dwight Howard is no longer a Memphis Grizzly. And you tell us why that's good. All the ways in which he's helped. And all the ways that this points out that this is a smart front office. And is this a smart front office, or is it, I mean, or are they just doing the obvious thing? How shrewd was the whole Dwight Howard thing?
Well, they're doing the obvious thing in a very thorough, detailed way.
Okay.
Which is not a given.
Right.
It certainly has not been a given in the past. They continue to show that in terms of, you know, wringing all the value they can out of transactions and managing their cap sheet, it's yet another example of what we've seen all summer, and that they are very smart and very thorough in that regard. Again, that is separate from player evaluation, which is a separate category of front office duty. But what they essentially did here was they took C.J. Miles, who the team owed, I think, $8.7 million for next season, and via two transactions, they cut that from $8.7 to $3 million. And so it came down to, essentially, do you pay C.J. Miles $8.7 million to be a member of the Grizzlies next season, or do you pay Dwight Howard $3 million to not be a member of the Grizzlies next season? And they determined, I think, correctly, even though I think there was value in having C.J. Miles, they determined that saving that $5 million from their cap sheet was more ultimately more valuable to the franchise than having C.J. Miles.
And
so what they did was they traded C.J. Miles to Washington for Dwight Howard, whose contract was $3 million less. So that cuts $3 million. And then they did this buyout with Dwight Howard, in which he gave back $2.5 million, not only of real money, but cap money. And so what essentially it was they allowed Dwight Howard to go talk and work out with the Lakers. When the Lakers let it be known that they would sign him if he were a free agent, Howard and his agent gave back the amount. They gave back in a buyout to the Grizzlies the exact amount that they were going to get from the Lakers on a new contract. So it's a salary-neutral move for Dwight Howard. He's making the same money he was going to make regardless, assuming that the Lakers keep him. Apparently, it's not fully guaranteed. But, you know, if he stays on the Lakers team, it's a salary-neutral move for Dwight Howard, and it's a the Grizzlies, you know, made back about $2.5 million extra on it.
Is this both cap savings and real cash savings, right? I mean, it both saves Robert Parra.
Yeah, I mean, it's always real cash savings. So, right. So the question is cap, and yes, the money does come off the cap.
And will the cap be useful particularly? Is this an important bit of cap savings?
Yeah, they went, you know, the initial move trading C.J. Miles for Howard, when they shaved $3 million on that, that $3 million basically was needed to sign Tyus Jones and sign Marco Guduric to stay under the tax line. And so what the buyout has done is it's given them a little bit more breathing room under the tax line. And given that they still probably, presumably, are pursuing trades with Andre Iguodala and maybe later on Jay Crowder, it expands at least the theoretical, you know, landscape of what they could do. If there are trades out there that would require taking more money back short term, it gives them more leeway to do that. And just for any other moves that may pop up between now and the end of the season, like it gives them extra wiggle room, whether that's, you know, signing guys, you know, to free agent contracts, 10-day contracts, whatever. They just have more flexibility to operate in season.
Okay. And you did mention Andre Iguodala is still a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. What's going to happen there?
I mean, who knows?
I mean, what are the options that could happen there?
The question is, what offers, if any, do they have on the table now? If they wanted to trade Andre Iguodala today, are there options to do so? And are they just holding out for better? That's the unknown. I suspect they could trade Andre Iguodala today if they were willing to just get a second-round pick. Like, I don't know that, but I suspect that's the case.
Two for example, whom?
It's been so long since I've written about this, and I can't remember a lot of the specific details. But, like, there are trades you could do with Denver. There are trades you could do with Dallas.
Okay.
There are some teams out there that you couldn't do a deal right now because it would require players who were signed this summer, and players who were signed this summer can't be traded until mid-December. So that could be a reason why the Grizzlies hold off until mid-December to make a deal. They may not hold off to the trade deadline, but they may hold off till mid-December because that puts more players in play. I suspect that they could do a deal now, but they're holding out for something better, and it may take until December to open up more options. If they wanted to buy him out, I mean, one of the things I wrote, I think it's true, but I think it was sort of already true, I sort of wrote that, you know, if Howard was giving back, you know, the amount of his new contract in a buyout, so that then the Grizzlies are certainly going to expect Iguodala to do that as well. I think that was always the case. I don't think that is a hang-up in this at all.
Right.
I think if the Grizzlies were willing to buy out Iguodala for the cost of whatever his new contract is, I think that would have already happened. I think the Grizzlies haven't done that.
Because they want an
extra. And again, I'm speculating. They haven't done that because they're wanting a trade that brings back more value. And so, but if they can't find that deal before training camp or from the start of the regular season, then that's going to require the Grizzlies cutting a player in order to keep Andre Iguodala. And so to me, the question is, do you want to cut a player in order to stretch this out even further? Okay. And so I don't know what's going to happen. It would not surprise me if they brought him
into
the season on the roster, but I will be surprised if he plays.
Will you be surprised if he shows up at media day? They'll just let him stay out wherever he lives? Arizona, wherever the heck it is?
My guess is he will not be at media day. I don't know that. No one has told me that.
Right.
I think if he's at media day, it's going to be a lot of, like, him being annoyed that they haven't bought him out. Yeah. Right? And so I don't see – that's the one thing I've never believed, that Andre Iguodala is going to be a veteran mentoring presence in the locker room for the players this season. Like, I've never believed that.
All right. This all inspired you to tweet out the following. All-time Grizzlies team, point guard Allen Iverson, shooting guard Gilbert Arenas, small forward Vince Carter, power forward Antoine Walker, center Dwight Howard. Some did not understand the tone of your tweet.
Right.
It's a fairly illustrious group. I will say, though, Vince Carter, like, they're all kind of comic Grizzlies, right? Except for Vince Carter, who was not comic. Couldn't we find a comic Grizzly to fit in there?
That was like an off-the-cuff tweet, so that's right. What I spent a lot of time thinking about.
I understand that.
I guess, I mean, my general point was to say these are players who were all-star and all-NBA players in their prime who later in their careers crossed paths with the Grizzlies. And, yes, Vince Carter is not like the others in that he had meaningful playing time with the Grizzlies, but he was well past his prime when he came to the Grizzlies. And so I could have been Iguodala in that spot, I guess. Carter was obviously a better player in his prime than Iguodala, and so he sort of fit the idea of, like, the former star, really. And so that was my only point.
Who was the Portland player that the Grizzlies picked up that cost Portland?
Darius Miles.
I mean, he wasn't a star, but he's sort of a comic Grizzly, too. Like,
Darius Miles. Was there around the same time as Antoine Walker, right?
I forget Antoine Walker. When was he? What was his story?
I think he came – I may be wrong about this, but I want to say he was a throw-in in that maybe in the Kevin Love O.J. Mayo trade. Remember, there was all those players moving around. It was like Marco Yarick and Brian Cardinal. Like, all these other players were just tossed into this thing.
Right.
I think Walker was one of the players tossed into that.
Interesting. All right, Chris, I'm going to save. Ja Morant has appeared in the NBC Best Players in 5 Years list, but we're going to save that for tomorrow. I will talk to you then. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
In the meantime, again, I remind people that if they want tickets to the Memphis Ole Miss opener, that is this Saturday, all you have to do is go to dailymemphian.com/tigertickets. dailymemphian.com/tigertickets. No purchase necessary. Do not have to be a subscriber. You can enter to win tickets. The Daily Memphian is giving away 4 pairs of tickets to the University of Memphis opener against Ole Miss. When we come back, Spencer Hall is going to join us to talk about Saturday night's football game and games to come. It's Jeff Calkins' show. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Gary Parrish Show.
Man, I ain't got much to say about that other than, man, I don't know why people argue with you. You're normally right, all right? So
thank you.
I don't know why they want to – they just need to just say okay and roll on with it.
Yeah, it's first up, I appreciate you saying that. And, yeah, like, it's one thing, like, if we're arguing about – what's better, the Popeye's chicken sandwich or the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich?
The Gary Parrish Show, weekdays from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You send a congratulatory text to your newly promoted boss, but autocorrect changes it to something unintended.
Oh, no.
You couldn't save yourself from autocorrect gone horribly wrong, but you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your smartphone's word choice is becoming your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even has a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Ooh.
And has been helping people save money for over 75 years.
Huh.
And now, all you can do is watch the ... response bubble and wait. But you don't have to wait on savings. Your local Geico agent could help you save even more.
You couldn't save yourself from autocorrect, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Down home, the best things in life are almost free. The almost free deal at Church's. One leg, one thigh, plus a honey butter biscuit. Just $1.99 for a limited time. Church's, bringing that down home flavor.
Offer valid at participating locations.
Help celebrate Gold Strike's 25th anniversary at Moneyline Book Bar and Grill on Thursday, August 29th. We're commemorating Gold Strike's silver anniversary with food and drink specials all day. And from 4 to 7 p.m., you can score 25-cent wings and 25-cent beers. Plus, don't miss your shot at a share of $25,000 in free play with hourly drawings between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. So come on down and celebrate at Gold Strike. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Exxon and Mobil present How to Be Supremium. First, fill your tank with Exxon and Mobil's Supremium Fuel. New Synergy Supreme Plus. It keeps your engine 2 times cleaner for better gas mileage. Then get the rest of your car 2 times cleaner. My rims are so shiny they can be seen from space. I saw pictures. So clean your engine with new Exxon and Mobil Synergy Supreme Plus. It's supreme. It's premium. It's Supremium. Fill up today or go to Exxon.com for details.
Synergy Supreme Plus gas compared to Synergy regular gas and 4 fuel injected engines. Benefits based on continuous use and may vary.
Spilled your juice? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. It cleans up messes and spills quicker, so you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit OrionFCU.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Admiral Schofield responds, "We really spanked them, though." Then Lester Canonis does this: "Come to Knoxville for the game this year if the Go-Go's don't have a game that night."
Hey, something burning? Oh, wait, it's you, because you just got burned.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show, weekday mornings from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Spencer Hall, editor-at-large for SB Nation's Banner Society, which is the home of SB Nation's college football coverage, host of the Shutdown Fullcast podcast, and on Twitter at EDSBS, at EDSBS. He is Spencer Hall. He joins me now. Spencer, how are you?
Busy, which is different, but welcome after like 7 months of inactivity.
Well, the nation evidently was thirsty for football because the overnight ratings were incredibly high for that mess of a game Saturday, even though there are people now proclaiming that never again should we play a week zero football game, given the sloppy nature of that affair. What do you think?
Oh, no. I mean, they're always going to be sloppy. It's not like week one was a whole lot better. Do you remember, like, there was a stretch of 8 or 9 years where South Carolina would play, like, North Carolina or NC State to start things on a Thursday? And those games were an atrocity. It's just moving it up earlier with bigger names ensures that we get bigger ratings for what are going to be, by definition, sloppy, terrible
games. Well, and they get
an
extra week of practice because of it. So I don't really – I actually don't understand the issue with it. I understand that it's cashing in on demand. But I think you're exactly right. It's no sloppier. The first game will always be sloppy, whether you call it week zero or week one, right? I mean, we're going to see a whole bunch of sloppy games this weekend. No?
Yeah, I mean, look at – how are you when you come back from Christmas break?
I would say sloppy.
How are you when you come back from vacation? That
right.
Monday?
Yeah.
That Monday's kind of a train wreck, right? We just get to watch them do it on the field in front of millions of people at home.
So as someone who is Florida, you grew up as a Florida fan, right? Did you not? You are originally?
I didn't grow up as a Florida fan. I went there.
You
and
went
that's
there.
When
okay.
the,
that's when
yeah,
it
that's
took
the,
hold.
That's the, remember when a serial killer, they refer to their focal event, right? Some traumatic right. event that occurred to make them this way. Mine was going to the University of Florida, and the great sort of, you know, thing that possessed me was being a college football fan, Gators in particular, but later, you know, sort of just spreads to everything.
Should Florida fans, most are saying, oh my God, it's going to be a disaster. This, yes, they won. But let's be honest, they lost. They looked overrated. They look like they have a quarterback issue. Should Florida fans be discouraged by what they saw Saturday?
I don't think so, because, one, the defense had 10 sacks. And
that's a lot of sacks.
That seems to me to be a lot. You know, I try to talk about college football in a way that everyone can understand.
Right.
If I say, hey, they tackled the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage 10 times and forced – at least 3 fumbles off the top of my head, if not 4. Does that seem like a lot? That seems like a lot. So if this line is only half that good against a better offensive line, who will be able to block them a little bit better, guess what? That's still 5 sacks a game. Is that what we're talking if they face a good line? Yeah, Greenard and Zuniga on the defensive line for Florida seem to be even better than anticipated, even against what I think is a Miami line that's going to have some problems. As for the quarterback, you know, this is what Felipe Franks is going to be. Felipe Franks is going to make some mistakes, but he's also capable of throwing the ball 60 yards downfield in a trice. Like, he hit Josh Hammond down the field to set them up for the go-ahead TD. He almost also gave the game away. But these are mistakes, and this is week zero, right? That's technically not even week one. If you're going to look bad and you're going to look disorganized, you want to do it here. As for the run game, you know, people say, well, they had difficulty running the ball. They got caught behind the line of scrimmage on a couple of plays. P. Ryan really only had, I think, 10 carries total. They didn't really rely on the run game a whole lot against Miami, which makes sense because their best player is, you know, Shaq Quarterman, their linebacker, and he's sitting right there in the middle of the field. So they played to the opponent. I know they averaged like 4 yards a carry. In short, things are all sort of sloppy things. Can I put this there? If you're really worried about us running the ball, hey, our punter runs like a 4.5.
He does. He gets around that corner, man. That was impressive. What'd you think seeing Spurrier and Urban Meyer? Like, what does that evoke while we're going back to that, the focal event and all? What kind of emotion does that evoke seeing Urban Meyer? And it's interesting, isn't it? People, I think, basically feel warmly about Spurrier and disgust or revulsion at Urban Meyer. Maybe inappropriately either way, but I think that's my sense of the general populace, that they feel warmly towards Spurrier, not so Urban Meyer. How does that, seeing those two guys together, made you feel?
Well, one, it sort of made you wonder, what do they talk about? You know, like, I don't...
They're different like, cats,
I know Spurrier can talk about different stuff. I know Urban Meyer can't, right?
Right.
Your menu's pretty limited. It also showed that, you know, Florida's had great success, but they definitely need, in order to have that success, they definitely need a special talent in terms of coaching. And it's not like Alabama in the sense that, you know, a guy like Mike Dubose or a guy like Mike Shula can win 9 or 10 games there and not really be anything exceptional in terms of management, recruiting, or coaching. You need a special talent there. Those are two very different kinds of special talent. They both had immense success at that place with drastically different approaches to the game. And that to me was what I felt looking at it. It was weird seeing Urban Meyer in a Florida shirt again, because, you know, you kind of forget. You're like, oh yeah, he was here. And that was absolutely great at the time. And the hangover was maybe not worth it when you look at everything that happened. Whereas with Spurrier, you go, that's fine. He has an office there. You can come back anytime.
What do you expect Urban Meyer to do?
I expect him to take the Notre Dame job.
Really?
And I don't
know. Not the USC job.
No, there were two jobs that he was clear to leave Florida for contractually when he was at Florida. And I believe when he was at Ohio State, these were jobs that at least had a reduced buyout or that he could talk to at any time. There were cutouts in his original contract at both places to talk to two different schools. And those two different schools were, in order, Michigan and Notre Dame. And I think if the Notre Dame job is open, and by the way, I'm not anticipating it being open this year,
right?
But I anticipate at one point Notre Dame, a place that does tend to give coaches a chance to succeed, sometimes even without any evidence to support that, they'll get an extra year or two. He's been there a long time. Brian Kelly's been at Notre Dame for what, coming up on his 10th season there. And he, 19 will be his 10th season. He has been there a long time. He's been to a championship game, but has not come close to winning it. He's been, I think, overall a really good thing for that program. But fatigue sets in at that 10-year mark. That's the Bob Stoops rule, saying that, you know, after 10 years, most people should really get going. That's what he thought, even though he stayed at Oklahoma much longer than that. I don't think that he would take the USC job because Urban Meyer has to have one thing, and that is a good relationship with the university, because he will press the university at every turn to take his players, right? And he needs that kind of control. Who's in charge at USC? What's that process? You know, and do you trust them? Like, USC, if you look at it, and this is, like, the more interesting point to me, right, is if you look at USC, which is the West Coast football power, there are people who come and go and who have ebbs and flows. But consistently, the best chance for the Pac-12 to have a national representative is USC. USC has been a wreck, a mess for more than a bit of their history, right? Like, we just don't hear about it because it's private. There's not a whole lot of transparency. And it's in L.A. where they don't tend to give as much shine to these things. But they've been as shambolically managed as any program over the last decade. You know, consider that they had a coach show up drunk to practice and they left another one at the airport and then hired an assistant who really wasn't being looked at by anybody else to do the job. I don't know if Urban Meyer would trust that in terms of a partnership at that level, whereas Notre Dame has all of the advantages of a private school, and he knows he's going to get a good run there in terms of runway and in terms of financial support and institutional support. So I don't know. That seems like a better pick. There is one big step there. You got to get Brian Kelly out of the way. And I think that if Notre Dame underwhelms at all, you know, that to me is so obvious, and it's been set up for so long, right? Because remember, Urban was an assistant there under Lou Holtz.
Tennessee had a football player, a very good football player, Bryce Thompson, who was arrested over the weekend for domestic assault and threatening to shoot up the joint. That's not a good look. And honestly, corners were supposed to be a strength of Tennessee. When a program's down, this is a point I've made before, when a program's down, you wonder how in the world they're ever going to get up again, whether that was Oklahoma when they were down. It was true Notre Dame. They've sort of climbed a little bit back up. Is Tennessee down forever, or does it just look like they're going to be down forever?
I mean, nobody's down forever, but there've been a couple of big shifts in the landscape that do not favor Tennessee, like Tennessee was favored in the 90s. And one of those, by the way, is recruiting out of Atlanta. They did a great job recruiting out of Georgia back in the Fulmer era, and they were able to take people that normally wouldn't go to Tennessee, in part because of the excellent recruiting they did there, right? They worked out of Georgia. They occasionally got a good kid out of Memphis.
Carolina. They do things out of South Carolina, and Clemson's getting those kids now.
Right. This is they've always been a kind of tweener school in terms of they've never been able to rely on one well. If you're LSU, you pull every kid in state, right? It's rare that a kid on LSU's radar from the state of Louisiana goes anywhere else if they're a 4- and 5-star recruit. It happens, but it's not really frequent. On the other hand, Tennessee, it's a small state. There's not enough talent to really sort of keep them going off the state alone. So they've always had to pull from 2, 3, 4, or 5 different sources. And a lot of those different sources for talent and for recruits, they've been dwarfed or eclipsed by Georgia absolutely owning in-state recruiting and owning Atlanta, which is just, if you can recruit well in Atlanta, man, that's all Georgia Tech is hoping to do, right? Georgia Tech is just saying, hey, just give us a piece of Atlanta and we'll be competitive, right? Because that's such a huge population center. So that, to me, everybody else infringing on those recruiting grounds, like Clemson and the Carolinas, as you said, Florida, by the way, like Florida, the landscape there in terms of recruiting has changed completely, which is one of the reasons that Florida State, Miami, and Florida are no longer guaranteed locks to be in the top 10, because everybody recruits Florida aggressively now.
Talking to Spencer Hall, editor-at-large for SB Nation's Banner Society, which is the home of SB Nation's college football coverage, on Twitter at EDSBS. Last question. A fellow named Earl Bennett asked, is Andrew Luck retiring the most bizarre sports news in the last 10 years? And I thought your response was the best. I of all the bizarre stories, and tell the people what you put at the top of your list.
Oh, you've got, you know, people say, is Andrew Luck a bizarre story? Not close. Not even close. I put at the top of the things to consider that there was a Notre Dame linebacker who had a long-distance relationship with someone who did not exist.
And I forgot this. Had she died? Was the issue? Was he like, had she died?
He got catfished.
I know that. I know that. I remember that. She didn't exist.
And
I know that.
Yeah.
But wasn't she, this imaginary person was not well, and he was grieving, or was that, no? I know she was totally catfished, and I think he went on 60 Minutes and talked about her, even.
He did?
I don't know. It was the craziest thing in the world. And yeah.
There's that, and, you know, that's just, that happened right before the title game, and that certainly didn't help an already overmatched Notre Dame team. There's the NBA GM,
Brian Colangelo,
who lost his job over burner accounts on Twitter.
Where he'd criticize publicly, yes, exactly, the organization. That was ridiculous. Some of these aren't. Honestly, the Texas Tech situation, where you have a guy who's fired ostensibly for putting his player in the closet, whereas in fact, a ESPN announcer has been smearing the coach, Mike Leach, obviously, that one was weird. Like, there's no end of weird football stories, one after another.
No.
After another. Robert Kraft was kind of weird, too. You got to say that, in a strip mall, right?
The biggest and weirdest to me is this. And it was put best by a follower of mine, Auntie Faldo, on Twitter, which it says, the best golfer of all time slowly went insane because he spent his off weeks doing kill house training with the Navy SEALs and then was chased into a fire hydrant by his wife after she uncovered the existence of his many, many mistresses. That leaves out like 40 details about Tiger Woods' life over the last 10 years that only make the story stranger. And that guy was arguably – you know, a top five figure worldwide in terms of recognizable, like, brand identity. And that dude, that's what happened with him. He messed up his career, in 8,000 different ways, including a late life desire to become a Navy SEAL.
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Spencer, thank you very much. I always appreciate having you on. Enjoy the first week, week one.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. Same to you. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
That is Spencer Hall. I'm looking up this Mante Teo thing. Was she dead? Was she dying?
So you were correct. So he gets catfished.
I know.
And then,
right.
He makes up this. Correct. And then he kind of, I think he realizes he's bitten off more than he can chew. And then, yes, I do believe that he did the, he thought, he's like, well, she died. And I think that was when.
Dead girlfriend.
Yes.
Yes. There's a. But
fake dead girlfriend.
Did he know at the time that she died? Did he kill her off because he had realized she was fake, or
correct.
Did he think that she?
Correct. Did he realize that? If I recall correctly, the people that were catfishing, I think at a certain point they started feeling bad, and then they're like, "Hey, she died," and so that maybe he would go away, and then.
But he didn't kill her off. They killed her off. We're going to clarify this.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. We'll clarify this. And give you all the details when we return. Plus, it's Memphis Ole Miss Week. It is Memphis Ole Miss Week. We will talk about that as well in the one story you've been waiting for. It's Jeff Cockett, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Get in and win the 92.9 ATC Fitness College Football Pickoff. Log on to 92.9ESPN.com. Make your college football picks. Make your picks before kickoff. Collect points and you could win. Weekly winners get a 4-month free premium membership to ATC Fitness. And one grand prize winner gets a $500 gift card to Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool. $500 in gift cards to Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. And a master-built digital smoker from 92.9ESPN.com.
No matter what the weather is like, once we start talking about football, fall is really on its way, and almost as importantly, that means tailgate season is starting, so there is no excuse, not one in the world, to not dust off the grill and get after it, and there's no better way to enjoy game days or holidays than with prime, hand-cut steaks from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop. You know Folks Folly. It's the original Memphis Steakhouse. They serve incredible steaks every night, been doing it for a long, long time, but guess what? You can take home those very same steaks along with ground sirloin, shrimp, lamb chops, sandwiches, pimento cheese, fresh vegetables, everything you could possibly need for a fabulous cookout or tailgate. It's all available at Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop right next door to Folks Folly. And if you live outside of Memphis, or if you happen to lose a bet to somebody outside of Memphis, Humphrey's can ship overnight anywhere in the country. So stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall or online at humphreysmemphis.com to get everything you need to grill like a legend.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/30/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
At Advance Financial, we love the word any. Free money orders, any number, any amount, anytime. Western Union, send and receive any amount, anywhere, anytime. Check cashing, any amount, anytime. Free bill pay, including all local utilities, electric, water, cable, phone, anytime. Prepaid debit card, load money, anytime. And, oh yeah, get a loan, anytime. Visit one of our 24/7 locations and get the cash and anything else you need today. Advance Financial, welcome.
Advance Financial will cash any check for any amount. Money orders, payroll checks, government checks, insurance checks, out-of-town checks, and those hard-to-cash checks. Advance Financial will cash your check when no one else will. We always say yes, and no check is too big. $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. Any check, any amount. Visit one of our 24/7 locations or online at af247.com to get the cash you need today. Advance Financial. Welcome.
When was the last time you treated yourself to a night out? Don't you deserve one? Have you thought about Restaurant Iris? You've always known it to be a special occasion location, and that hasn't changed. But did you know they now have a full bar that you don't need reservations for? Any night of the week, sit down to delicious and unique dishes, small and large, prepared by our world-class chefs. Pair seasonal snacks with specialty cocktails. Memphis is ready for an elegant place to have a casual night out. I'll meet you at the bar at Iris.
Spilled your juice? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. It cleans up messes and spills quicker, so you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Social Security case, dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
92.9 FM ESPN, broadcasting throughout the entire Mid-South on Blowtorch 680 AM and in pristine HD FM on 92.9 FM in Memphis.
Memphis, 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 Memphis. Nothing but Memphis. Everywhere we go, it's Memphis. Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee, the beautiful land in the world.
The Memphis Grizzlies select Ja Morant from Murray State University.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. All the names and games. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Waiting around, threw up some.
I am a slow adopter of technology. You know that? I only recently learned how to, you know when you get a text and you can hit the little like or ha-ha or love button at the text rather than responding? Because what do you respond? Some texts don't really want a response. You get LOL.
Right.
At
you just or let, ha, let the
you
person
want to just, I got the text, yes. Whatever. I didn't know how to do that. Like, for the longest time, I had no idea. How did people do this? I have figured it out. I have figured it out. As stupid as I am about technology, I now have an online banking app. That's how easy it is. Triumph Bank, the easiest possible online banking app. Even I can do it. And not only that, the patience to walk me through it. Triumph Bank. They are a local bank, regional bank. They're not a regional bank. They've got, they can do anything. The big, this is the point. You get this incredible personal service from Memphis bankers. But everything that a big bank could offer, the massive banks could offer, the national, they offer. And better. Try it. Try there. If an evening idiot can figure it out, you can use it too. Triumph Bank, online banking. They are invested in the community and in making banking easy for you. On the Manti Te'o thing, weirdest story of our time?
The
Andrew Luck is a shocker. It's not weird.
Correct. I think the Te'o one, is it the weirdest? I think it's weird.
Is the Tiger one weird?
The Tiger one's super weird because, I mean, at one point he thought about quitting golf to become a Marine or a Green Beret. Like, that's... Like, that's weird.
Some are, like, some say the Donald Sterling thing, right? But that's not weird. That's just pernicious and awful.
Right.
Like, if you've listened to any of the, ESPN did a podcast, Ramona Shelburne did a podcast on the Donald Sterling stuff. And to actually listen, I think it's helpful to listen to Donald Sterling talk about, he would let his mistress sleep with African Americans,
mm-hmm.
just not bring him to the game.
Right.
Don't be, and that includes, by the way, if you want to sleep with Magic Johnson, sleep with Magic Johnson. Just don't sit. The most vile, racist BS that you can possibly imagine that people like to think, pretend that was because we had a black president that we're in a post-racial society. But that's not a bizarre story. It's too pernicious to be bizarre. It's just an awful. Awful story. And this one is weird, though. So Manti Te'o, they upset, Notre Dame upsets Michigan State.
Correct.
On national TV, an awestruck sideline reporter asks him how he managed to play such inspired football. 12 tackles, given that he was just a few days removed from a six-hour period in which he lost both his grandmother and his girlfriend, Lenai Kakau. Is that how it pronounced
it? I think it was Kakua.
Kakua, to leukemia. They were with me. I'm just so happy that I had a chance to honor my grandmother and my girlfriend and my family. The next week, he had 2 interceptions and 8 tackles as they beat Michigan. And instead of going to her funeral, Kakua's funeral, he says she made him promise he wouldn't miss a game. All she wanted was some white roses, so I sent her roses and sent her 2 picks along with that. There was a story in the New York Times. I won't say the author because it's just the whole thing's embarrassing. About how his voice, if she heard his voice when she was in a coma, her breathing would pick up. It was in Sports Illustrated. Here it is. Her relatives told him that at her lowest points, as she fought to emerge from a coma, her breathing rate would increase at the sound of his voice. The whole thing is preposterous. And it's, from what I'm reading, it's not clear if he was in on the...
I think that's...
He didn't know the beginning of the hoax,
I think,
very clearly. But
I think
it wasn't clear that if he was in on the end of the hoax or not. And it seems like he probably was.
Yes. If he's not in on it, then I think it's unquestionably the weirdest story.
He was not in on it. He was clearly catfished.
Correct.
At the beginning.
And then
did he kill her off to prevent embarrassment?
Exactly.
It's a little bit. There's a long story in the Vanity Fair, which you can read if you want to Google it.
Right.
But anyway, the Andrew Luck thing's not weird. Makes sense.
Yeah,
makes
no, all, it's totally. He doesn't want to play anymore.
Let's be honest. If it were your son,
all right,
would you want him to keep playing or not?
If he doesn't want to keep playing, I would. My overall advice to you is, I agree.
Can you imagine if he goes out and gets another concussion and is drooling
at
age 50?
The ultimate example of, if you're thinking about retiring, you've already retired.
Time to retire. You've already retired. That's not true in, like, our business.
No.
I think about it every day.
Right.
I'm
right.
Just kidding. That's not true. I love my work, both my works. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
It's Memphis Ole Miss Week. I will say, watching Week 0, how sloppy it was, reaffirmed why I don't want the Memphis Ole Miss game to be the first game of the year. Because I don't think it's that representative.
No, Week 1, weird things happen in Week 1 because it is so sloppy. The turnovers, like, they... week one is an outlier, in my opinion. The first game of the year is an outlier.
That's exactly right. And so I'm not that keen on it, but it is going to be fun. And so I'm looking forward to that. This is the last game that they are scheduled to play. What's happening with this series? It's going away forever. It's the world has changed. It's stupid.
I don't know if it'll go away forever, but I mean, I don't see it coming back anytime soon.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
I may devote a whole show to this tomorrow.
Okay.
Is Ole Miss scared of Memphis?
Scared
in this sense. They're not scared like they're better than we are all the time, whatever. They're scared in this sense. Losing has a downside, and they can lose to Memphis. And so why do it?
Correct.
That's it. If they always knew they were going to win every game, it wouldn't be as whatever. But there's a chance Memphis can beat them. They have before.
For sure.
A couple times recently, right? And that's a downside. And so screw it. We'd rather play a team that we can always beat, that where there's no downside, no recruiting downside, where the fans don't have to say, we beat you. We don't have to live with them. But I understand why it makes sense, in other words, why it's good business, sensible for Ole Miss not to do it. But I also don't know if that's how you should run your, like, it probably made sense for Nebraska to go to the Big Ten, right?
Sure.
Like, there's lots of things that, quote-unquote, make sense for a business perspective, but that still offend my sensibilities.
Like Miami going to the ACC. Like, it seemed like a no-brainer, good
play
decision.
Play the damn game.
I think what gets lost in all this is the reason why this series is dying. There have been some I've seen that have blamed Ross Bjork and whatnot. I can tell you with 100% certainty what happened. When Memphis beat Ole Miss in 2015, Hugh Freeze had a massive freak out. I never want to play him again. Flipped out, and then that was when the negotiations stalled. So I think at one point Memphis and Ole Miss had a pretty good understanding. Ole Miss wanted the basketball game because Ole Miss really struggled to schedule good quality non-conference basketball games, and Andy Kennedy knew that hurt them in terms of when Andy's teams were perpetually on the bubble, that would always hurt them. So Ole Miss really wanted the basketball game, and Memphis wanted the football game, and Ole Miss was a little more willing to do business than probably most other SEC schools are. At the time, were.
Well, and this is all part of a larger framework where Power 5 teams aren't scheduling non-Power 5 teams unless it's a 2-for-1. Look
exactly
at what Memphis just did with Arkansas. So I understand that. But what you're suggesting is exactly fits
to your
the
point.
Scared
yes.
thing.
Yeah.
It's that they lost, and so they said, screw it.
Yep.
We're taking a ball and going home.
Yep. And that's the way that one broke down, yeah. It was pretty simple on that one. I think it'll be. I don't think it's done forever. Like, I think Memphis, Tennessee is closer to done forever than Memphis and Ole Miss, personally.
How's Tennessee's recruiting going? In Memphis, among other things. That's so great.
They did pretty well last year. Like,
They
got Eric Gray.
They got Eric Gray. I hear he's been good, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Eric's a good football player.
Eric's a good football player. He is a good football player. Okay, what's coming up next?
Oh, here's what's coming up next.
I'll tell you what's coming up next. Blonde John Martin is coming up next. What did he do? He is platinum blonde now. I think he should file a lawsuit. He looks ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. I presume we will learn the story of why John has blonde hair. Olivia Decker will join them at 11:25. Frank Schaub will join them at 12:25, we're going to have today Adam Fuller, the defensive coordinator for the University of Memphis, on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Greg Doyle will join GP at 4:25. Jeff, at 5 o'clock, make sure you're listening for the 6, highlighting the best of 92.9 FM ESPN at 6 o'clock.
I just realized my shirt was inside out.
Close enough.
And it was buttoned.
Close.
Top button. But I fixed it. I hope you have a better day. We got to get out of here. Our work here is done.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis and America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How often do you say you love something? This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark's Bensdorf Realtors, and I love selling real estate. And I love doing these ads. There's nothing like helping someone find their dream home, whether it's their first home or their seventh, or get them through the complexities of selling their current home. The creativity in writing and doing these radio ads is similar to the personalized marketing programs I design for each client. This often includes using the Shellbucks option. And people ask me, what is the Shellbucks option? If you or someone you know is thinking of selling their home, I advise people to talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers and let me be one of them. Find out how my strategic and creative marketing program can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. Call or email me at 483-0546 or memphisrelocate.com. That's Shell Dunn Rosengarten, because people often say when you want the job done, call Shell Dunn at 483-0546 or memphisrelocate.com. And I'll be happy to tell you about the Shellbucks option.
Help celebrate Gold Strike's 25th anniversary at Moneyline Book Bar and Grill on Thursday, August 29th. We're commemorating Gold Strike's silver anniversary with food and drink specials all day. And from 4 to 7 p.m., you can score 25-cent wings and 25-cent beers. Plus, don't miss your shot at a share of $25,000 in free play with hourly drawings between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.